Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can look into your word, and thank you that you will be our teacher. And Lord, we just pray you open our hearts to hear the depths of what you have to say. I pray you anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit, and that you open each heart to receive. So God, we give you this time, and we thank you for your love and your goodness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. So if you want to follow along, that's Luke chapter 16. And before I read this, I'm going to read this whole section and before we look into it. And it helps us to kind of remember, as I always bring to remembrance, we've been going through the book of Luke. Okay, we're going through the book of Luke. And so what happens in Luke, he says, I'm investigating this account. And so he's presenting an unfolding revelation about Jesus' presence. And so here in chapter 16, there are only 24 chapters in Luke. Some of you are going, praise Jesus, there's only 24 chapters. Because we've been here since September. Anyway, so we're on chapter 16. So by this time, Jesus has really made an impact. And he's starting to teach. And he's done all sorts of miracles. And he's gathering a huge crowd. And so he is starting to put forth some revelations. And people are a little stunned about what he's saying. And this one, and I just give that as a precursor to this section, because just imagine that you're coming around and looking at Jesus presenting himself, and then he says this, and you're going, whoa, you know, there's some depth here. You know, it's like he's seeing some stuff we don't see. And so we have that in our mind, okay? So let me read, and we'll see what Jesus has to reveal to us at this time in his ministry. He's coming towards the end of it. Luke chapter, and you just follow along. There's no overheads for the first as I read through this. But Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And Jesus says this. He tells a story. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here. Now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, and the man, rich man said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Whoa. Whoa. Well, that's be a nice bedtime story for your kids, you know? I liked it. And you better be good. Or something. What Jesus has to say. Now, in context here, what he's talking about, the point he's making at this time, he's talking about earthly possessions and how you deal with them, which if you think about last week's message, that's what we also talked about. He gave this very difficult parable, this story about earthly possessions and the consequences of using them. So he gave that picture. So really, this is just another account following on to that, talking about possessions, okay? And you can kind of get the picture here about possessions. And I always encourage us, we need to take things in context, okay? However, what I would like to do this morning is take things out of context, okay? So I'm telling you up front, I'm doing this. We talked last week and about handling of possessions. I don't want to repeat it this week about the same thing because that's what the context says. So I want to give you the heads up that I am taking it out of context. I mean, I'm taking the main point out of context. And what I want to look at this morning is what Jesus tells us about life after death, all right? Now, that's not the main point of this story. It really isn't. But that's what I want to talk about is life after death. Because he does tell us about life after death as he uses this example. And so I want us to look at this and where we can think about, gosh, this is something only Jesus would know about. All right? He doesn't know. I mean, everybody else is kind of guessing, and we have a few things, but Jesus knows the whole deal. All right? So he's, you know, before all things with God, he's come to the earth, he's fully aware of life after death. So he uses this account like, oh, yeah, this is something I saw. And everybody else is going, really? You saw this? So what we want to do is look at this and see what we can learn. Now, I personally believe that this account is very literal. I don't think Jesus made this up, okay? He used the story to drive home a point. Now, he didn't make this up. He's telling us something he saw, he knew, and he's very aware of. So what we want to do is look at this and say, what did he know about life after death and share with us that we don't know, okay? So everybody's good with me taking it out of context, all right? Because I am. Well, we start off with this, and it talks about these two people. And again, as it starts off in Luke 16, it says, there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. So you got the picture. You got the picture of these two men. Now, so as we see the picture of these two men, what we see is they die. Both of these men die. And so when we see this, and so we see that they, both of these men die. Now, we need to understand as we look at this account, this is an event before the cross. Okay, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He hasn't died for our sins. He's going. He knows that's what he's going to do, and the whole Bible is pointing towards that, but that hasn't happened yet. So he's telling the story before that. But even before that, anyone who goes to heaven because they have a relationship with God, okay? It's always been that. You have a relationship with God, have a relationship with Jesus, and you go to heaven. And that's how you get to heaven. So that's understood. We don't have to recycle through that and say, well, how do you get to heaven? It's by trusting in the Lord. So you take that as a known truth, okay? So we have a known truth. We don't have to repeat that. Well, with that known truth, what Jesus does here, it gives us an account of earthly behavior and its consequences. Okay? Now, he's not saying, oh, you got to work your way to heaven. No, he's taking the known truth. You have to trust the Lord. You have to trust Jesus to go to heaven. But understanding that, I want to give you a picture of earthly heaven and eternal consequences. So that's what he's doing, and that helps us understand, okay? He's making a point that there's something after this life, and there's something that happens because of our behavior after this life. And it's even for the good and even for the evil. So we ready? Okay, out of context, all right? So what we do here is we see each of these two men and their eternal condition after death. So this is after death. Here is something we don't know.
that Jesus, this is something we don't know that Jesus knows. Now, look at the overhead. We have an overhead here. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it says this: the poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. Okay? Well, when you look at this, the poor man died and was carried to Abraham, and Abraham died 2,000 years before this event. Okay? Abraham's been dead. Okay? The poor man died. Abraham's been dead. Okay? He's been dead for 2,000 years. So what the angels do is they carry this poor man to Abraham. And so what we see here, that these two guys are really very much alive. Abraham's alive, and this poor man's alive. Okay? They left their body here, but they're very much alive. I think that's important to know. Now, we also see this, and we see it all through Scripture, but we also see it where Jesus tells the truth about life after death when he speaks to the thief on the cross when they both are dying on the cross. They're both on dying on the cross. And you remember what the thief says? He goes, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. And this is what Jesus says, okay, with overhead here. Luke 23, 42 through 43. So the thief says, Jesus, remember me. They're both dying. And Jesus, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, when? Read that word, when? Today you will be with me in paradise. Okay? You got the poor man, you got Abraham, you got Jesus, you got the thief, and they're going to be in the same place immediately as soon as they die. They're going to be in the same place. That's what this says. That's what it says in Luke 16 about the poor man, and that's exactly what it says about Jesus and the thief. And since Abraham's already there, he's already there. And so everybody is kind of like knowing who everybody else is, but they're not here. They're in paradise. They're in paradise. Now, so you have these people in the very same place where they go after their death. Now, all of us, we should be taking this very, very personal. You know, there's a universal thing about everybody in the earth. Across the board, everyone think, across the board, everybody has one similarity. Okay? You're going to die. You are. You're going to die. So you need to pay attention. You know, it's like, well, three or four of them skip through this. Nope, not going to happen. You know, so it's like we need to pay attention because this is a universal thing. You know, there's no discrimination in death. Everybody's going. Now, so you have this picture, and also, I'll make a little point here. I think it's appropriate to use paradise and heaven meaning the same thing, okay? Technically, you could say paradise is within heaven, but you say, I'm going to paradise, you're in heaven. So, I mean, you can say you're going to heaven. We're cool. We'll let Jesus work out the details, okay? That's where you want to go. So, they're in heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul, so here you have Apostle Paul, when he comes later and he starts preaching, you know, and he's going through all sorts of stuff. Well, he fully understood that when you die, you immediately go be with Jesus. He understood it. He fully understood it through his whole life and makes great points about it. In fact, he stood it, he understood it so well. He says, I'll be glad when I go. You know, I'll be glad when he's ready to go. In fact, look at what he says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Look here. And read that whole section. The whole section is encouraging. And so Paul says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. You know, all of us say, oh, God, I don't want to die. I'm scared to death of that. I am afraid. Paul's going, come on. He said, this is way better. I've seen it. I know what it is. And this is way better than where I am now. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. So that's what he said. It's the same thing. Same thing. And there's a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where it says God caught Paul up into paradise. He got a peek. You know, he got a peek. Now, not many people get a peek, but he told us about his peek. You know, he said, hey, man, it's cool. Everybody's going to want to go. So we see that. And so you have this picture, which is very important, because we're all going to die. You know, that's kind of a good evangelistic tool. We're going to die. You know, well, you have this view, fine, you're going to die. I don't know, maybe that's not the best way to approach it, but it's going to happen. There's going to be an end. I don't care what your political view is. You're going to die. I was talking to this guy, and he was in this cult. And so he's following this guy, you know, and he's just into this cult. And I says, what happened to him? He said he died. I said, really? I mean, the guy going to die, you know, it's like that. So good thing about Jesus died, but he rose. See, he rose like this. As far as I know, this cult, he's still dead because they're still hanging stuff on his tombstone. All right. You see what I'm saying? So you have this whole picture. Linda had just this weekend. This past week, Linda went up to her mother, and it just happened to be her cousin died. And I remember this cute little girl when she's about 12 years old, and this was 50 years ago, and a car ran over and crippled her, and she'd been in a wheelchair from 12 to 50. And I would even say in somewhat misery, she died. What do we know about her? She's alive. Right now, she is alive, and Linda said at the funeral, the man that shared the message says she's running and jumping with Jesus. She's alive. See, and she's just fine. She's just fine. So we see this, we go, okay. See, Lazarus, he didn't have anything. I mean, he's in a terrible state. Dogs licking his sore, and he's alive, and he's with Abraham. He's with Jesus, and he's with the thief on the cross. Okay, they're all there. So here's a center point of Christianity that you see exposed. And when Jesus telling this story, he's just like telling, like, yeah, everybody already know this. This is what happened. Amen? Well, we go on. You know, a lot of people, and I always laugh. You look at these, and I think Jesus, as he goes through some of these, he should put a period at some section in these days and then go on to something else. But he doesn't, you know. And I can be accused of giving long sermons, but Jesus gives way longer sermons than I do. I mean, he really does. I mean, this guy, and people paid attention to him more than they do me, too. I know that. But but he didn't stop there. Jesus doesn't stop there, so he keeps going. So we're good with Lazarus, right, where he is? Hallelujah. So when we die, we're going to go be with Lazarus. He goes, no, come on, Wallace, you're going to be with Jesus. Well, I know, but Lazarus is going to be there too, you know, okay. Probably should say with Jesus. They may not understand you're going to die and be with Lazarus. But anyway, so we have this picture here. But then Jesus goes on. He goes on, he says this, and the rich man also dies, but the rich man goes to Hades, or hell, which is a place of torment. See, Jesus was not politically correct either. You know, he kind of, one or the other. And so let's look at Luke 16, 22 through 23, see what happens to the rich man. And the rich man also died and was buried. It's funny they didn't say anything about Lazarus being buried. But anyway, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Do we have the picture here? Now we're good. Jesus, thief, Lazarus, Abraham, and now we have the rich man who's died in Hades, in torment, and looks up and sees Abraham and Lazarus. He sees them from Hades in torment. you know, I'm kind of, when I read this, I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, what are you saying here? Because he's just given this as a statement. He's not even, this isn't even the context of the point he's making, right? He's talking about possessions. I'm the one's taking out of context. Of that. Man, this has to do with death after life. So we see that this rich man is in Hades in torment, and he sees Lazarus. I just think that's interesting. Now, technically, I make a point. Technically, Hades is a precursor to hell, okay? I just got to tell you that because some people, well, that's not Hades. It's not hell. It's Hades. No, Hades is kind of precursor to hell. But neither one of them are really good places to be, and they're both hot, all right? So look at Revelations, verse chapter 20, verse 14. It'll have overhead there. Revelations 20, verse 14. And when Jesus ultimately comes back, he says this, then death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. So if you're in Hades, you go to the lake of fire. So you think it's hot in Hades, it gets hotter in the lake of fire, okay? So it's just, you know, it's just hot. So I think we can use Hades and hell in the same voice, just like we can use paradise and heaven in the same voice. Now, in Hades and hell, the rich man, like Lazarus, is what? He's alive. Rich man's alive. Just like Lazarus, he is alive. Think about it. He had all this rotten people die and they're in a better place. I don't think so. That's not what this says. So look at Luke 16:24. So the rich man, he sees Lazarus and Abraham, and they're better off than he is. He figures this out real quick. And he says, and he calls out, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. Oh, send Lazarus. Now, see, he wouldn't even throw Lazarus a scrap of food in his earthly life. He wouldn't even throw him a scrap of food. But he said, oh, Abraham, send Lazarus. Just he could dip his finger in water and just touch my tongue. Send Lazarus. See. So the main point here, they're alive. The rich man's alive. See, you know? Think about it. It's life after death. Everybody. For everybody. Oh, by the way, I just repeat this. Who skips death? Nobody. Okay? Nobody. You always hear people say, there's no unbelievers in hell. I think that's true. You know, I think that's true. Now, so now what we have, not only that, so you have the rich man, I just want you to cool my tongue. If Lazarus would just put his finger in a dip in water and cool my tongue. But here's something else we see. There's not any second chances in death. That's one of the things why it's so important how we live our life here and what we share with others, because there's no second chances in death. It's a done deal. And it goes on and says this, Luke 16:26. And Abraham saying, I can't do this. I can't send him to you. He says this. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. Great chasm. Can't cross. Can't go either way. I can't go save anybody, and I can't get out of it and share with anybody else. There's a great chasm after death, after death. And so we see that. You see that. And in Hebrews, I have an overhead for this. In Hebrews 9:27, it says this. It is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes judgment. Die and judgment. Appointed for man once to die, and after that, judgment. So there's a whole picture that's happening. Now, And people in hell, you ever wonder? And you hear people say stuff, you know? I'd almost said stupid stuff, but I didn't. You hear people say stuff. Oh, there, I won't be there with my friends and we'll party. I don't think so. Well, I won't go to hell because that's where all my, relatives are. That may be so, but I don't think you won't go there, okay? And the thing of it is, they're there and they don't want you to come. See, what you see when you're in hell and you observe hell and you know what's going on, you don't want, no matter how rotten it is, you don't want anybody else to come because you know how bad it is. Look at Luke 16, 27 through 28. And this rich man, he's still trying to get Abraham to do something and send Lazarus. And he said, then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Nobody's having fun there. Nobody likes it there. There's no joy there, And to think, the ignorance of thinking, well, this is okay, it's not. This is not. And so you see the thing, he can't help him, but he said, well, go tell my brothers. Go tell, so I don't want them to come here. Go tell them, Lazarus. Now, here's something, a little thing. A lot of times I've been asked to do funerals for unbelievers. Okay, they don't know the Lord. And I always tell people I'm going to give the gospel, and they say, okay, so you got somebody who's died and they don't know Jesus. And I use the basics. I use these verses as a basis to share the gospel. These verses I use as a basis to share the gospel. And this is what I'll do. And I'll share with them because they're sad the person's gone. He's an unbeliever, but they're still sad he or she's gone. And I said, listen, I want to tell you something. I know you're going to miss this person, but if they could come back right now and talk to you, they would tell you, trust on Jesus. That's what they would tell you. And then I give the gospel. Based on this, that would be exactly true, right? Just an unbeliever. An unbeliever is going, oh, my God, trust in Jesus. You don't want to come here. That's what an unbeliever would do. So it's a great verse when you have to talk to people who've lost, where an unbeliever dies. Because that unbeliever does not want them to come where they are. Amen? Fascinating. Fascinating here. Now, God answers. Or I guess it's actually Abraham, but he answers the rich ruler when he says, please send them to my family in Luke 16, 29. But Abraham said, can't do that either. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now what does that tell you? Didn't I already told them enough? They need to believe what I already told them. That's exactly what he's saying. No, I know. No sense sending Lazarus back. They need to believe what I told them already. So, what we, however, experience in the reality of life after death, the rich man believes that if someone would come back from the dead, then they would believe. Do you see what this rich man is doing? I mean, he is like looking at different ways to get the message out back on earth. And he can't because he's bound in torment, but he's having this conversation how the message can be shared. And so what he says, if somebody came back from the dead, they would believe. That's what he, I'm in here and I see how this is bad. Well, somebody's here and they came back from the dead, then they would believe. Look what it says, Luke 16:30. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone comes from the dead, then they'll repent. They'll repent if someone comes from the dead. And look how God answers with an absolutely condemnation on human nature. Look at Luke 16:31. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Didn't believe before Jesus, now they're going to believe after Jesus. They won't be convinced, even if someone rises. Who rose from the dead? Jesus. And he arose from the dead. People were, even the Pharisees, that communicated that he had risen from the dead and the body's been stolen. They said, listen, tell people that the apostles stole him. See, they're not going, they don't believe. They're covering their bases for this world. And they said, no, they won't believe. They won't believe. But he arose, and some believe. It says, there's an interesting section in the scripture. It says he arose in the garden, and he appeared to everybody, and some believed and some didn't. So here's the whole thing. It's like, no, I will tell those, and I will lead those. And here's the principle. People must respond to the light given in order to receive more light. I don't believe that. Show me something else. Nah, I'm not doing it. That's what God says. Not doing it. You believe what I show you, then I'll show you more light. Amen? That's what he's saying. And so we see this with Jesus. They didn't even trust Jesus when he returned. So now we have this picture of death after life. Okay, of life after death, okay? Well, I said that backwards. Well, I can't use death for death. Life after death. You have this picture of life. But what he is revealing here to this, when we take this out of context and we look at the spiritual realities of it, God, there's a huge message here. God says, you have one shot to believe, and it's on this earth. You have one shot to share the gospel for others to believe, and it's on this earth. Don't think you're going to go to heaven. Gosh, I wish I'd go back. No, you've got one shot here to share the gospel, and it's on this earth while we're alive. And our purpose and our motive in this earth is not to get a good job and have a nice retirement. The purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he'll give us a good job and maybe a retirement so we can have a capacity to sustain ourselves while we share the good news in this life. Because everything wraps around the good news in this life. You know why? Because everybody's going to die. And he said, you need to share the good news while you're alive to those who are alive. This is it, this life we have. This is it. And what we do here, which it does say, carries on for eternity in heaven. But Jesus could see spiritual eyes what was going on. And so when we look at Jesus' eyes, when we look through Jesus' eyes, we see what's going on. Everything around us starts to change. Now, we know, when you look at this, think, oh my gosh. But what we do know, we know through the scripture, God is moving in human hearts. God is moving in people to believe. He's moving people all across this world to believe. He's touching people in unbelievable ways. I am just overwhelmed. People come and share their testimony of how God moved them, touched them, had people share, and they'll come to know Christ. They receive some light, they understand it, they step into it, and God gives them more light. He continues to bring them where they come to a point of receiving Christ who he is. So we have the light, and the Bible says we have a great commission to spread the light. He tells us. What was the last thing Jesus said to his disciples? Go ye in all the world and make disciples. You have light, share the light. That's it. You share what you have. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You go, well, yeah, share that. See, you become a child of light when you receive Christ as your Savior, and then you share that light. That's what it is. And God uses it to touch people all around the world. And he's moving, and he's using us to speak. See, we think, well, we'll speak, and he moves. No, he's moving already, and he wants us to speak. You know, it helps not to get the cart before the horse. Well, I'll do this, and God will move. No, and then we get all frustrated. No, God is moving, okay, and then we speak. See, so we keep alert. I love this verse
I love this verse in Acts 16:14, which gives a perfect picture of how this works. So the Apostle Paul goes, and there's a bunch of ladies. They're washing clothes or whatever they're doing, you know, they're talking, they're gathering. And so there's this lady there that's actually quite well off. Her name's Lydia. And so, you know, Paul does what he does. So he's like, okay, we got this audience, everybody. So he just starts sharing about Jesus. Acts 16:14, and it says this. Paul was such a dynamic speaker. He convinced her, answered every question, and she just couldn't get over his great wisdom. No, that's not what it said. It said, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to what Paul said. Who did this? The Lord. Paul's been saying the same thing for years. Okay, and he just says it again. And the Lord opened her heart to receive what he said. It's the Lord. We just speak what happened to us. The light, it's all that. So we know the truth concerning life after death, and we have a responsibility to tell others. Tell others. I love this verse in Romans, and we'll wrap it up with this. Romans 10, verses 14 through 15. I have an overhead for the last part of it. But here's Paul. He closes this thing out. So he gives us commission. Here's our commission. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And that's God's view. Oh, how beautiful are the feet. You know, I said, oh, man, they have nice hairdo and nice clothes. No, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You know, I hate to call it feet because their feet are moving. You know, are moving. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. And there it is. And there it is. Now let's go back to the closing verse and we'll look at John 3:16, just totally different. Good news. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Who perished? Rich man perished in torment. Now he perished, but he's alive in torment. And God sent his son so we won't perish. So we won't be with the rich man in torment. See? So he sent his son that whoever believes in him should not perish. What? But what? Have eternal life. With the poor man. With Lazarus. With the thief. With Jesus. With Paul. They're alive. By the way, everybody's alive. In torment. With Jesus. And so what the message is John 3:16. Go ahead, because there's eternal life. Why do we need eternal life? Because we're going to die. You know, at my age, it's amazing. You know, you pick up a paper and read, and man, that people my age dropping off like flies. I'm telling you. You know, and there's people, you know, it's like, oh man, this big rock singer, well, you know, he was out there, you know, banging around. He's deader than a hammer, man. And he's younger than I am. I'm the, whoa. Whoa, I mean, it's like, man, that's a wake-up call. You know, I went to our 50th, you know, high school reunion. I mean, it's like 8 guys didn't make it. It's deader than a hammer. All right? I mean, you go, whoa. You know, now I know that people die young, but the probabilities really get higher the older you get. You notice that? You know, the older you get, I mean, they're going quick. And it's like, whoa. And God's trying to give us a head up. He said, don't worry about it. Hey, don't worry. The Apostle Paul said, hey, bring it on. I'll be with Jesus. You know, I'm working on that. But bring it on. I'll be. And that's why the Apostle Paul looked at it. Because he saw it. He said, no, this is better. Oh, it's better. We get out of here. This is better. And so there's a confidence. There's no fear in death. And the Bible even talks about not having a fear of death. Not having a fear. You shouldn't be afraid of this. You shouldn't be afraid of it. But if we don't understand what Jesus says, then we're,
afraid of it. Because, I mean, you ever think, what is it really like? I don't know, you know. Now you die and somebody's there going, surprise. You know, what do you think? But now Jesus tells us something. He's telling us something. We know what's going on. We know what's going on. And so we need to have confidence. We have confidence. Amen? Hallelujah. So, even though Jesus didn't end on that high note, okay, we'll end on the high note. But trust Jesus, we have a home in heaven. We have a home in heaven. And I mean, you keep the gospel simple. Hey, you know, why are you believing? I have a home in heaven. Well, why? But I don't know. I have a home in heaven. I have eternal life. I trust in Jesus. I live for eternity, period. Because if they don't get it, they ain't. You know, and it's like, whoa. See, and if you don't understand that, you can't answer all the other questions. Satan has all the other questions. Satan has all the other questions. You're confused. You go, I don't know what you're talking about. It beats me. But I know who I believed, and I know I have a home in heaven. Oh, that's good, and it drives people nuts that don't. See, but that's the truth. That's the basic truth. And then if you have opportunities, you can share the more of the goodness of God. It's that point. So let's praise Jesus that when we trust in the Lord, since we trust in the Lord, we're going to go to heaven. And just to be a little facetious, but truth, we get to see Lazarus. Okay? We get to see Lazarus. We get to see the thief on the cross, you know? It's got a whole assorted company of people up there, all right? And by the way, I think the biggest deal will be seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. Okay. We'll be seeing Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, we just thank you. We thank you that you died on the cross for us. And you just said, just believe in me. Just trust in me. That I've paid the penalty for your sins and nothing is held against you. You believe in me. You have eternal life. Eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you. Amen. Amen.